You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. I am Dan Keller, and this show first aired March 19th, 2024. Over 250 delegates are expected in Waterloo at the 15th Annual Ontario Bike Summit from the 3rd to 5th of April. The event is organized by the province-wide cycling advocacy group Share the Road Cycling Coalition. A press release from the city stated, quote, municipal staff and leaders from across Canada and internationally will share ideas, best practices, and opportunities for progress in cycling, unquote. The statement continues, quote, this year's Bike Summit theme explores sustainability and innovation through cycling, unquote. Ed McMahon, the chair of the Share the Road Cycling Coalition, said, quote, the summit is unique in Canada. It is an important advocacy platform and opportunity to share best practices and innovation among cycling policy and decision makers, unquote. This show features interviews with Patrick Bergsma of CycleWR, a local resident-led cycling advocacy organization, and Christopher Hodgson, the manager for active transportation for the City of Waterloo. They each discuss the upcoming Bike Summit, thoughts on how the city is doing on their active transportation and cycling networks, and ideas and actions to make streets safer for all users. Bergsma also mentions the locally developed cycling guide app, which according to its website, quote, uses a level of traffic stress framework and open street map data to create routes that prioritize cycling infrastructure or roads with less car traffic, unquote, for its user. The show starts with Christopher Hodgson of the City of Waterloo speaking about the Bike Summit. He introduces himself and his work.
My name is Chris Hodgson. I'm the manager of active transportation at the City of Waterloo.
Can you tell me a bit about the upcoming Bike Summit that the city is hosting April 3rd to 5th?
It's an annual event. Historically, it's been held in Toronto. Last year was in Hamilton. It's an opportunity for municipalities to showcase their cycling infrastructure and programs and where they are along the journey of cycling and making cities more cycle friendly. So looking forward to showcasing those on April 3rd to the 5th.
Who's taking part in this summit? Like who's coming to it?
It will be delegates from across Ontario and even beyond. It's typically municipalities are showcasing best practices from their municipalities, lessons learned. So quite a varied audience. There will be the City of Waterloo staff participating as well. There's a few presentations being made by staff, myself included. We're certainly hoping to have our municipal elected officials there to see how things are going. And
you mentioned you're presenting. What will you be presenting on?
I'll be co-presenting with my colleague here, Jenny Renault, on the Transportation Master Plan that was approved back in 2021.
What is the city hoping to get out of the Bike Summit?
I guess a couple of things, really. First and foremost, we're looking for delegates to enjoy the experience of Waterloo, not just in terms of the active transportation network that we have out there that they can go out and try and enjoy. But also what Waterloo has to offer, you know, particularly the uptown area, the vibrant restaurant and, you know, the pub scene and everything that goes with that, maybe experience the RT system. But we're also looking forward to hearing, you know, other people's experiences from their municipalities, their successes and challenges. It's a bit of a lessons learned that, you know, we can learn from them and they can learn from us.
And now, Patrick Bergsma speaks about CycleWR's involvement in the Bike Summit.
From April 3rd to 5th, the City of Waterloo is hosting the 15th annual Bike Summit. Has CycleWR been invited to participate?
We've not seen any official invitation yet, but we will be submitting two possible OBS panels presentations. One will be on a cycling risk survey, and then another one will be on potentially like safe roundabouts and designs that related to that. This still has to be approved by the Ontario Bike Summit, but we're hoping that those will be accepted.
Mayor Dorothy McCabe says she is thrilled to be hosting the summit. Is there anything that CycleWR would like to see on the far end of this summit, like results?
Yeah, we're hoping that in the end that those who are professional, those who are just enthusiasts or are interested in this kind of stuff, will be able to be better equipped to share these kind of things with staff, council, and even those who are just less informed about how to make cycling more of a cultural thing here, and also safer to enable more people to come to bike around and everything as well too. So yeah, we're hoping that that could be a result from the end of this bike summit that we get to host here in the city of Waterloo.
What's CycleWR looking forward to? I know you're presenting, you're looking for some outcomes, but what are you looking forward to about the summit itself?
I think what we're kind of looking to see come out of this is just the excitement that comes around events like these, and especially when they're hosted locally, it's always fun to have that. But just to see just the excitement around what can come out in the future from these information, or just be see the more knowledge be shared internationally of like how we can build things, how we can do things, and just how we can even advocate for more of this safe infrastructure that will see improvements for everybody, not just for those who already cycle, but for those who will potentially cycle.
After the interview, Patrick Bergsma provided an update that CycleWR will have three members attend the summit, with Tom Strickland presenting about their, quote, cycling risk survey regarding what type of facility cyclists want, unquote. Bergsma also noted that his presentation proposal on safer roundabouts was rejected, but only because the professional he was quoting in his presentation, Narayan Donaldson, a graduate of the University of Waterloo, who works as a consultant for the Dutch company Mobicon, will be making a similar presentation. For the second part of the interviews, Hodgson and Bergsma were asked about road safety in Waterloo Region, actions and activities their respective organizations will be up to over the next months and through the summer, and anything they were excited or proud about in their recent work. First up is Patrick Bergsma of CycleWR.
How do you feel the city is doing Waterloo? We can start with Waterloo since the bike summit's there, but I know we're a regional area. But how do you feel the city is doing on safe and effective bike infrastructure?
Yeah, overall, we believe that the region is doing a good job on the most part. We've seen some great infrastructure in the past couple of years. We would definitely say that what is being committed in future side of things, the city of Waterloo has a lot more plans that are set in stone right now, or at least almost set in stone, that we'll see in the next couple years to up to a decade. So they're definitely leading in that sense at this current moment, but Kitchener already has a good start, especially with their downtown grid, which has been shown to be a huge success in that way too.
So kind of trending in the right direction?
Yeah, we definitely would like to see Cambridge to continue to improve. They're a little behind compared to Kitchener and Waterloo right now, but we'd love to see them to catch up, and we're trying to make efforts in that as well. And even we'd just love to see cycling even in the rural bits and of like the townships and even the smaller towns that continue to improve, so that you can safely cycle to school or to friends' places, or even just to go for a nice ride from the city to more rural areas of our region.
Is there anything the city can do immediately, or again, the region could do immediately to make things better?
Better, like just in general, like physical infrastructure, or just a bunch of things?
What are some like steps they could take within the next year? I know a couple of years ago they did the COVID bike lanes, for instance. Are there any things to like immediately they could do that would improve the network?
The big improvements I believe that we would see just to make that network more accessible, more easy, more clear, is to have better wayfinding. And we are starting to see that improvements in actually Kitchener right now. They've put some new signs up along some trails so you know which street you're at when you are biking on a trail, because you can get kind of a little lost when you're on a trail because there's no clear road structures or wayfinding all the time. But Kitchener's have seen improvements that way. So that can be pretty simple and easy to do. Even more temporary infrastructure would be huge. If we can see more funding related to that, that probably could really get a nice connected grid, at least something basic, kind of what we're seeing in Paris right now. Actually, the mayor there, she's done a wonderful job of getting just some temporary stuff out there. It's not the best, but it's definitely better than nothing. So we could see some similar efforts here. I think we could definitely see our numbers increase a lot as well.
Waterloo was given a gold bicycle-friendly community designation by Share the Road Coalition in 2018. How do you feel about the various rating systems which exist for bicycle-friendliness of cities?
Yeah, at this current moment, I'm kind of surprised that the city of Waterloo was given a gold one perhaps, but do for what their future ambitions are. I totally can see that as a reasonable rating system. Some even like in Kitchener has silver or platinum. I forget what they call it, but this essentially it's one down from the gold, and I think the ratings for the most part is pretty acceptable, and they even have a few honorary mentions that are from cities like Stratford and a few others as well.
So it's a bit of an aspirational for what cities have done and what they're planning to do.
Exactly, yeah. From my understanding, the ranking does the current infrastructure and also their ambitions as well. So, and just the knowledge that they're applying. So I think that it seems appropriate.
Now, across the region in the past 3 months, there have been dozens of people who are not in cars, who have been injured or killed by people driving cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I know CycleWR participated in a ghost ride recently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have anything to say to city officials, planners, and engineers about road safety from your position as a representative of an active transportation advocacy group?
We definitely want to see more action and just acknowledgement of these things and even just a bit more of a systematic approach and even proactive approach to the way we design and respond to these collisions, both by pedestrians who've been hit and even those who ride their bikes and get hit. So just an acknowledgement of that would be really good. But and even, of course, action is even more important because, yeah, being proactive in our action and how we design our streets and how we design our network will make it a more stress-free network and safer network for whether you are driving, whether you are biking, whether you're walking or wheeling around some other form.
What is CycleWR up to other than the bike summit over the next few months and leading into the summer?
Yeah, we've been up to a decent amount of things. We've been trying to mostly reorganize after COVID and everything kind of have set some things aside. We did some stuff in regards to the local elections as well, just riding with potential candidates and everything. But yeah, some more recent efforts have been, we've been running a winter giveaway for those who take a picture of their bike or with them with their bike using our hashtag of CycleWR Winter Challenge, just to encourage people to get out there riding in the winter. And so we have some cool prizes that we have given out each month from start of December, and we'll be ending that in March. So that's one thing. We've been working on things like surveys as well that we've been doing. One thing is a cycling route effectiveness model that we kind of are encouraging the cities and region to use this ranking and model that we kind of developed and to help just set where's the best and most effective lanes should go first to get increase the amount of people using those cycling instructors. So that's things like going to be focused around places like schools, stores, and just those and connecting them to these residential areas and everything too. So that's one other thing that we've been working on, and presenting that at least. And then yeah, we even really want to push efforts to equip our members and those in the communities because. It's good that counselors and staff will hear from us, the CycleWR, but it's really good when they hear from multiple voices. And we have seen that when we have encouraged our members to reach out to speak at council meetings and such like that. So we'd like to continue to equip our members in knowledge and things in a nice digestible way for them so they don't have to go through any schooling or through a bunch of research just to able to advocate. We want to equip them to make advocating easier on their half of things. One more I almost forgot to mention as well is that is a locally made cycling route app called Cycle Guide, Cycling Guide actually, sorry. And which is really nice for those. It's not just like Google Maps where you just type in and it gives you the shortest or maybe most direct or method of getting around. But it goes by your comfort level. So it's using open map data to do that, essentially. You can pick your comfort level, whether you want minimal interaction vehicles as possible, or those just more residential streets, or maybe you're a little more adventurous and a little more confident that you can take some streets that have a bit more heavy traffic. So it's a nice option, especially as the infrastructure continues to grow in the region.
Do you have a favorite route in there?
Well, yes. So There are some pre-made routes that you can do as a way to explore. Some of them are shorter, maybe like an hour at most. Some are even like day trips that kind of go around the region and even up to into Guelph as well. So I don't have a particular one. I've not tried them first, those ones yet myself. I've usually mostly use it for trying to discover safe ways to get around the city. And I've found some really nice routes that I don't think I would have found on my own by myself or by through Google Maps or anything similar.
What's the name of that app again?
Cycling Guide. It's made by a local people and we kind of partnered with them a couple of years ago. And now they're trying to actually increase the areas of service they provide. So they're hoping to become maybe something more, maybe at least Ontario-wide and maybe even Canada-wide. We want to promote this locally. We're not sure how many people actually know about it, but we definitely want to make more efforts to promote that as well for those who aren't aware of it yet.
Patrick closes by noting a recent poll which shows that a majority of people want safe cycling infrastructure.
I want to mention that even a survey that is Share the Road, who's running Ontario Bike Summit, they ran a provincial poll that actually shows a larger majority of people want to see the more investment in cycling. So it's just encouraging to see that, especially when sometimes a small vocal minority can sway council and staff, because that's the voices they're hearing. So yeah, that's why we do want to equip more of our people to make it more people within the region and our members so that they know how to become more vocal of the majority view that seems that many have about cycling infrastructure.
Now for the rest of the interview with Christopher Hodgson of the City of Waterloo. Shifting a bit away from the summit, how does the city ensure the work that they are doing on active transportation works with and amplifies the work the City of Kitchener and the region is doing for design-wise and consistency?
There are provincial design guidelines out there that we all strive for. That's embedded throughout the municipalities. We're all trying to head in the same direction, show consistency, recognizing that different streets have different contexts and different challenges. That's got to be recognized. And I believe, you know, the other thing is that there's a lot, you know, of kilometers out there of roads that were planned and built decades ago using different design standards. A lot of those didn't even accommodate for cyclists or even pedestrians. So that's the challenge today is bringing those roads up to current standards. But obviously that's going to take a lot of time, a lot of budget, a lot of resources.
A lot of that would come back to some of the city's efforts around Vision Zero. What's going on with those efforts?
A lot, actually, and a lot of that, that really all stimulated through the Transportation Master Plan, Dan. There was that overall study brought in a road safety action plan, which is based on Vision Zero principles and philosophies, and it really touches on all facets of road safety. That lives in my counterpart's department, but essentially it looks at road safety across the city. It talks, you know, touches in on traffic monitoring, speed management, active transportation, of course, road design. And it kind of brings a lot of this stuff together. So things are looked at holistically and not just, in one element.
Now, over the winter, there's been a number of high profile incidents of cars being driven into people across the region. Is the city planning any immediate action to make transportation safer for vulnerable road users?
We've got our programs and plans that we have in place. And again, some of these have only been in place since 2021. So again, a lot of these things do take time. It's not easy to just run out and fix things. You can actually, you know, you can offset trying to resolve one problem by creating another. So, you know, we take things and they get analyzed and seeing where the actual issue lies. Yeah. And that way you can counter that measure with data and an analysis rather than just, running out to try and, resolve a problem or what you think the problem is.
Is the city doing enough to protect vulnerable road users, or is it just like the master plan is working towards that?
Well, the master plan was completed. It's now enacting on the outcomes of that master plan. And, you know, again, I can't stress that these things do take time, resources and budget. And support through that, there's the Road Safety Action Plan is a massive undertaking. I'm talking about the City of Waterloo, of course, but the other municipalities have that same equivalent. But yes, we have better designs. You know, we're working with the current designs. We're trying to create and implement the desired standards where we can. Again, each street throws up its challenges.
So what is the role of residents in getting these improvements? You mentioned, you know, it needs support. And I assume you also mean the politicians that we have. But what's the role of residents in getting these improvements fast-tracked or worked on?
That's probably out of my area. But, I mean, at the end of the day, there's a lot of things that happen out there and decisions that are made on a daily basis by people on our streets, whether they're, you know, they're in a vehicle, on a bike, walking, taking transit. And those decisions are out of our control. But, you know, what we're striving to do is work on what's in our control. Again, we've talked about that planning and the design, not just of the street, but the various, you know, pedestrian and cycling infrastructure within that street makeup. But it's also part of the education and awareness. You know, we have videos and information on our website that shows people how to use some of the infrastructure, some of the road crossings, you know, etiquette on trails, how people should be interacting in these spaces. Again, those are things that are in our control, and that's, you know, what we strive for. So I would encourage people to go to look at those videos, that information. It certainly can help. In terms of other things that people can do, I think it's just be aware of your surroundings and being aware of the space you're in, recognizing there's other people out there, the vulnerable road users, as you mentioned. They're all competing for the same space.
Shifting a little bit again, what will the city be doing over the summer and the next year to expand the bike network and improve active transportation options?
We have programs and projects in place. Some of this was through the master plan. Others are ongoing projects in our capital program, and that includes sidewalk. We've been building sidewalks for many, many years now in the City of Waterloo. We have over 570 kilometers of sidewalks and walkways, believe it or not, across the city, but there's still streets that either don't have a sidewalk or streets that only have one sidewalk. And there's a sidewalk policy that we have to follow, of course. We also each year are expanding our cycling network, and that takes various shapes and forms, from multi-use paths, multi-use trails, lighten some of the trails and making those connections so that people can navigate around the city in a much easier way.
Are there any active transportation projects in the city that really stand out for you or that you are proud of?
Oh, a number of. I guess the main thing, though, Dan, is for us, active transportation in the City of Waterloo is embedded throughout. It's not just, you know, the team that I manage, or even just in transportation. It's embedded throughout, right from the get-go at the planning stage, from the through engineering. So there's a lot of projects on our Engage site now that talk about, the projects that are out there and coming. There's too many to mention. I love the Uptown, how that's come about. Obviously, that's a regional road, but I've got to do a shout out for the Uptown area. That's it's a beautiful cycling component. Our Water Loop is a fantastic trail system, and making those connections to the other parts of the city, it's coming together. These things do take time, and we wish we could fast track some of these, but there's obviously a process to follow.
Hodgson ends his interview with a reminder of the city's goals.
I guess it also speaks back to the bike summit, which we're looking forward to presenting on and being at. Part of our goal, our journey, is to really make Waterloo the best cycling or best version of a cycling city it can be. wherever that takes us, whatever that looks like. We are currently a gold standard bicycle-friendly community under that program. I don't know where that will take us, but it's important that we keep progressing and going where we can with this for the best interest of the community.
You have been listening to interviews with Patrick Bergsma of CycleWR and Christopher Hodgson, the manager for active transportation for the City of Waterloo, both of whom will join over 250 delegates in Waterloo at the 15th Annual Ontario Bike Summit from April 3rd to 5th. Visit OntarioBikeSummit.ca for more information about the summit. To check out the locally developed app that Patrick Bergsma mentions, visit cyclingguide.app. And to participate in the online feedback that Christopher Hodgson mentions, visit engagewr.ca. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in.
This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.